The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, God. This topic today. I don't know what this says about us, Chip.
Yeah. Sit back, relax, and make sure you're wearing your seatbelt.
Also, take your children out of the car. If you're listening to this and there's children in the car, hello, kids.
Hi.
Press the pause button, though.
We're going to try and use medical terms.
Are you? Are we? I mean, you can.
Yeah, I can try.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, hi, everyone. We're going to get to this in a second, but I just told Chip we were just discussing kind of our last minute prep before we press record. And I was like, we have to just press record because we are literally doing the podcast before the podcast because we were having such an intense conversation about this topic. But hi, welcome to The Edge. And happy to be back with you guys. I was out sick on Wednesday, so I hope that you enjoyed the replay that we posted. We are back, and I would say better than ever, but I'm not real sure how. I don't know. What do you feel about this, Chip?
I mean, it hurts just even thinking about it.
I feel that for you, and I'm not even a man.
Yeah.
So earlier this week, Chip sent me an article, and it was called something. I don't remember actually the actual title, but it's named something, but it's about the topic of scrotox.
And yeah, what it was actually a place in Los Angeles that does it. I'd never heard of it.
Was this like an advertisement?
It felt very, I mean, it was, I think it was like a website or an article, but the way it read, it almost sounded fake. So I had to Google it, and it sure enough is a thing.
Well, you know that your Instagram is now serving you only things about vaginas and penises. That is literally where you have gotten in your 40-something years of life.
Oh, my God. I'm not really a pro. I just get served a lot of information.
But it's also not sexual, the stuff you get served. Like, that makes it sound like you're some sort of, like, sex master or something, and you love talking about sex. You know all about sex and all the things. But this is more medical and informative, I would say.
Yeah. And there were a little bit of shock. Like,
this is definitely shock for me. It was. It's still shocking. That's why I was like, we have to press record because I was having these massive reactions to the things you were saying. But if you are like me and you've never heard of scrotox and you're like, what are they talking about? It is what you think that it is based on what it sounds like. And it's
take
Botox.
The two words, scrotum and Botox. Yeah. And what does it become?
Scrotox. So there's a new procedure that men are having done, and it's Botox in your balls, basically.
Yes.
And in your ball sack. And do you want to tell the listeners the benefits? Because I still am real confused on this.
Well, I mean, from what I'm reading is, and disclaimer, I've not had Scrotox done, nor do I think I ever would.
If you had had Scrotox done, I would make you let us photograph it to show the listeners.
I mean, I feel like I would have to. I feel like I would have to.
You would have to. It's a medical examination.
So I'm honestly a little confused because I felt like when I first discovered this phenomenon of Scrotox, that it was actually used to sort of like lift and tighten your balls so that they weren't like old saggy balls. But it sounds like after I've done a little bit more digging that it actually helps make them look big. It's about enlarging them and making them look bigger and more plump. And, you know, you can find some before after photos if you're curious on the internet. And I'm not sure that I'm stoked on the results of Scrotox. Like, they make them look like, some of these photos look like old man balls that are like hanging down to your knees.
Well, I guess
maybe that's what some people want.
Well, the bigger piece is, I think, what would be enticing to people is, or whatever, to a guy in general, it seems like y'all want everything down there to be bigger, right? So maybe that's the motivation. I am so confused by the whole procedure in general, because what I said to you is, why are these guys even worried about their balls? Nobody likes balls anyway. Like, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to get a little shot in your balls and I'm going to be like, ooh, balls, yum. Like, that
ooh,
looks
look at
so,
these great balls.
Your balls look amazing. Look how smooth your balls are. Like, that is never going to happen. You know, like, that's not a part of any woman's mentality or whatever. The balls are there. They're a part of the situation. They're brought into the mix. But they're not the main course. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And, or the main event even. Like, they're just kind of there. And sometimes they're almost even in the way to us. So it's like, I just don't understand why anyone would care what their balls look like, because they're not attractive to begin with if you're looking at them that way. Like, if you're really examining what a ball is, it's like a little bag, like a saggy bag.
It's a bag with a nut in it. I mean, it's exactly what it is.
And I guess
so. Just to clarify too, the Scrotox, it is done to the scrotum, the bag, not the testicle. They are not injected.
I did ask that question.
Yeah.
Because I could see where dudes would want their testicle to look bigger. What if you can start getting filler in your testicle before you know it?
I mean, I've seen men that have silicone injected into their penises and balls, and it's like, it looks like there's a pillow in the front of their pants.
Like a fupa?
Kind of, but it goes down their leg. I mean,
oh
I don't.
Oh my God, I had a
I do
teacher.
Not understand it, but it's like, it looks like it's like waterlogged or something.
I had a professor when I was at LSU that had elephantitis of the balls. Like, I'm not even kidding. I felt so bad for him because you can't hide it. Like, it was, I don't know. But anyway, he would pace the classroom and I was like, oh my God, I just felt like such a pervert because I couldn't stop looking at it. But I wasn't like looking at it, like enjoying it. But it was fascinating because it was down his leg kind of and like this big, I don't know. That's the thing. And so anyway, someone told me that's what it was. But the whole thing about even being concerned cosmetically about balls is what I can't wrap my head around. Like, I'm still just like, what?
Well, you know, we all have some questions. So I found a website called Innovative Men's Health, and they've very quickly answered some of the questions. Why would someone inject Botox into their scrotum?
Yes, why? Tell us.
These are the purported benefits. One reported benefit is a treatment for excessive sweating, but the primary benefit seems to be that it smooths out the wrinkles on the testes and makes them look bigger. And then there is this. Apparently, there are those who have reported that it has improved their sex life. Yep. The buzz that it increases the sensitivity of the boys downstairs.
How is that possible, though? Because Botox relaxes the muscle. So, like, the places that I have Botox in my face, like, this is what I'm saying. I have Botox. I get Botox. Like, no judgment if this is what you want to do. I'm just shocked by it. So, that's what this reaction is.
Right.
But I do think it smooths out wrinkles, but it's also like relaxing the muscles. So it's weird to me that you would have more sensation there because like I can barely move my forehead. You know what I mean? Like, my eyebrows don't go very far. So I don't know. Very interesting to me. I actually read, though, that some of the concerns with this procedure are like low fertility count, like it's dropping your sperm. And so it just begs the question, like, what are we doing as a society? Have we gone too far? Like, is plastic surgery actually helping us as a culture or hurting us? And you and I were kind of looking at the emotional and psychological components, like, because this has like reached a new level to me. I mean, it was very obvious before that we have kind of become obsessed with the way we look. And this, again, none of these things are judgments. Like, Chip and I care about what we look like. I also work in the beauty field. So it's a big part of the conversations of my everyday, actually. But I just look at it sometimes and I'm like, what the fuck is actually happening? Like, what are we doing?
Well, for something like this too, and it's not like your balls are on the outside. I mean, they are on the outside, but you're not walking around with naked, them exposed at all times. And, you know, if you were going to get a breast augmentation, the same argument could be made there. But you really see the breasts and how they sit on the body, even when they're still in clothes. You know
I'm
what I mean?
I'm just laughing because I can tell you've been reading medical journals because you're calling a breast augmentation and breast. Like,
yeah,
a boob job and
a
boobs.
Boob job.
Like,
a boobs.
When have
titties.
You ever
there you go,
like
kids.
That?
You still listening? But to do something to your balls, which, by the way, I hate needles. Like, I hate having to have my blood drawn. The right. idea of having to put a needle in my nut unnecessarily is terrifying. They said that they put a numbing cream on, and it's like there's very little downtime. There's some soreness, but for the most part, there's no downtime.
Right. That's how
so you
is.
Can get right to it, and it lasts for 4 months. Oh, Amazon just came, so my dog might lose his shit, but
we can't hear him. Chip is so distracted right now.
So it's like they only come when I'm doing something like this.
Of course.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
she would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but so I just can't imagine wanting to do something like that that's elective. And before we started recording, I was like, you know, like having a vagina facelift. What do you call that?
Vaginal rejuvenation.
Which I understand that, like, that necessarily isn't really an elective thing because your vagina gets damaged in birth.
Exactly. Like, so it's not a vanity thing. Vaginas go through a lot more trauma than balls do. What trauma do balls go through?
I mean, you get kicked and stuff.
Is that common, though?
No.
Human being coming out of a ball? No,
it's very different. But I did read on one of these things that said if you have chronic testicle pain, it is something that can help.
That makes sense. It's like how people get it for migraines.
Right. And that to me is not, that is a medical use of this. It is not an aesthetic use of it.
No.
So, you know, I don't know. I've never met anyone that's like, my balls are too wrinkly. Like, balls are wrinkly.
Because when do people talk? That's what I'm saying is, like, when do people discuss balls? It's not like I'm like, okay, I'm going on a couple dates with this guy. We hooked up. Guys, let me break down what his balls look like for you. Like, I never
Did he have a big dick? And you're like, no, but his balls were amazing.
That just never happened. But I hear what you're saying about even the vaginal rejuvenation, because it's like you're not walking around presenting that to the world. What I would say and what I would believe that people having those kind of procedures feel is insecure in the bedroom, you know, or like with a woman, especially, like, I mean, this could be in general, but vaginas come in all shapes and sizes, just like balls. And maybe you didn't like the way yours looked. So maybe you want something different. The thing is like, I'm never going to knock plastic surgery. Like, if that's what makes you feel good, I don't have judgment about that because I have seen it change people's lives. And like I said, I can't say, don't go do that. Like, I get Botox myself. So that would be so hypocritical. I think I'm just starting to kind of be like, wait a second. Are we doing the thing that I talk about a lot on this podcast where we look at like the outer issue? We like, in the medical field, a lot of times in Western medicine, I get really frustrated because I feel like they just throw a pill at things. You know, it's like, oh, you probably have ADHD like the rest of the world, or you're depressed. Look at that. Here's a pill. And it's like, but why? Why are you depressed? Do you really have ADHD? Because a lot of other things can manifest like that. So are we really looking at root causes? And in these situations with plastic surgery, I'm asking the question, are we going too far? Have we lost the concept of like what being beautiful really is and like how to feel confident in yourself regardless of this kind of stuff? Like, because I think what I was saying to you was, you know, you can go do all these things, but if you hate yourself, they're not going to fix that you hate yourself. Like, it's like, I have thought a million times about getting a boob job. Like, I have small boobs. I've had small boobs my whole life. I exercise a lot so they don't ever grow. So it's like, you know, because boobs are just fat, really. And like, that's just, I don't have a lot of fat, or that's not where I get fat either. So that's kind of the thing. And I think the times when I've thought about it, when I look at them, I'm always like I've even gone to the doctor, I've had consultations and everything. But when I really ask myself, like, what is the driving force here? Every time I've ever thought about it, it's an emotional thing that's actually going on with me. It's like, for some reason, either I went through a bad breakup, I'm feeling down about myself, or I'm putting pressure on myself. Like, when I was on TV, I felt like, oh God, I got to look like everyone else or what our culture deems hot. And that makes me stop before I do it every time, because I'm like, I'm not going to feel satisfied if I go butcher my body for that or change my body. I might be happy with the boobs, but like, what's really happening in me is a comparison issue, an insecurity. I'm low on myself for some reason. And those are the real things that like need to be addressed within me. And so then if I go address them, it's kind of funny. I forget about the boob job.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because it's, you know, I'm obviously on my fitness journey, becoming a fitness influencer, and I'm losing weight. And I think one of the most
great, by the way,
thank you. But the point that I want to make is that, like, the greatest benefit is that I just feel better about myself. It's like the outside is fixing the inside right now. And okay, but I'm doing it from the inside. I'm not just doing it from the outside. And I do think it's like, trust me, I've thought about going to get liposuction because it seemed like an easier, quicker fix, but I'm terrified of needles. And the idea of having a needle like jammed in and out of me, like to suck the fat out, like terrifies me. And I think it's a really painful recovery and I don't like pain, but I think, to me, I think you hit the nail on the head is like, you have to like really dig deep and decide why you want to do what you're doing,
right?
And answer that question. And then once you have that answer, is the desire still there? I was reading some medical stuff and I saw some statistics that were pretty shocking that, I wrote one down. It said, these are the main things that sort of disorders that cause people to want plastic surgery. And this is obviously not a blanket statement. This is about like psychological disorders that drive interest.
Okay.
Narcissistic, histrionic personality disorders, and body dysmorphia disorder are the three most common psychiatric conditions encountered with patients who are seeking cosmetic surgery.
Well, none of those are surprising, right?
Right. No, not at all. And this says overall plastic surgery not only restores the appearance and the function of a disfigured body unit, but it also alleviates some of the psychological distress. Mm-hmm. So there is some benefit to, they're in these studies, there is benefit that can alleviate some of those things for people. But I also read that there was a statistic that said as much as 50% of people who have things like depression and anxiety and get plastic surgery to sort of overcome them, at least 50% of those people experience negative reaction and have more anxiety and depression after the surgery.
Well,
which is
because
terrifying because they're not dealing with the root problem.
I mean, it's just what I was just saying, because if you spend all that money, first of all, you put your body into like, it's still a surgery. Like, don't get it twisted. You have to go under, anytime you have to go under, that is scary to me. Like, that's part of the other thing that's always stopped me from doing that. Cause I'm like, elective surgery just feels scary. It feels like asking for a disaster or whatever. Not to say that
so there's that
it is.
Stress
it's
too.
It's financial stress. But if you have those issues and you're thinking, oh, if I just get the surgery, then I won't feel that way. The if then's there are your problem, because if you're depressed and you're all the things, maybe there's a small part of the society, of our culture, that has just hated their nose so much that nose job changed everything. But I feel like for the most part, probably a lot of us kind of are dealing with what I was talking about, where it's just like you make up that story that if you get that surgery, it's like the same thing as if you get the big house, you get the nice car, then you're going to feel satisfied within yourself. Right. And it's like, no, then you'll just want a bigger house and a bigger car if those are the only motivating factors.
100%. Well, and I think you see that play out with plastic surgery too, because often it starts with one thing and then it's the next thing and then it's the next thing. And
do you ever watch that show Botched?
I did back in the day.
They've gotten to the place now where I've seen a couple times they'll kind of cut people off because I think they start to realize, no, this is like, they'll say, this is a case of body dysmorphia. You're not seeing yourself clearly. My biggest like concern with where we're going as a society is literally everyone is starting to look the same. And I mean, not starting, this has been on trend for a while. And people blame the Kardashians a lot. And obviously, a lot of people do look like them.
Yeah.
There's a big influence. I don't think you can put blame on anyone. Like, it's people have free will at the end of the day. So,
I think it stems from the fact that they look the way they look because of plastic surgery.
Sure.
So people I would think it would be a really easy thing to be like, I want to have done what Kim had done, or I want what Kylie had done.
Yes.
Which then makes everyone look like them.
Of course. And that makes sense to me too. But like, the reason I thought of this was because I saw this episode on Botched that was this guy actually who wanted to look like Kim and literally remaking his entire body, his entire face, like to do the boy version of Kim. I mean, it was just features that he wanted. And it was crazy because it just like, I don't know, it was just sad to me. Like, he didn't even want to try to get okay with who he is and what he looks like. He wanted so bad to be someone else. And that is case in point, I think, of like where this can go wrong.
Yeah. And he looks nothing like Kim Kardashian.
Well, right. But like, I do think our beauty standards are a little off. Like, remember when people used to look different? It was so much more interesting when people when someone would walk into a bar and you're like, oh, your body is a totally different type. Like, I remember being younger and saying to myself, oh, well, yeah, my friend has these huge boobs or whatever, but I'm the tall, skinny girl. Like, I would play into my body type and like really learn to get comfortable with it and embrace it. Like, I was so super awkward and lanky when I was younger. And so I hated my body, but really, I really worked on that, like getting okay with me. And that's also something I still do now. Like, when the boob thing comes up, it hasn't in a while, but like, if it did, I've gotten really a lot better at saying to my body, like, I love you. This sounds so cheesy, but I love you. Thank you. Like,
yeah,
because it functions every day. Like, I'm so grateful for that. And it's so interesting when you talk to yourself that way, what it changes about the way you look at your body.
Well, I also think it's really important to remember that there's a lid for every pot too. And
what does that mean?
Have you ever heard that? There's a lid for every pot. It's like, there is someone out there that loves tall, lanky girls, and there's someone out there that loves curvy girls, and there's someone out there that loves short girls. And so I think it's as a society, we're so much better off if we can do the healing from the inside and love ourselves.
Right.
And then once we've completed that journey, if we feel like we want a better nose, then get the fucking nose. But
totally.
The nose is not going to make you love yourself more. I mean, I think there are probably some anomalies, and, you know, Ashley Simpson's a good example because her fucking nose is fantastic.
Oh, now you mean?
Yes. Like, it like changed her face completely.
Well, it's like Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, ruined,
she doesn't even look
her
like
career.
The,
yeah.
Well, she doesn't even look like the same
career.
Person.
Yeah.
To change her nose, it did?
Yeah. Like, she kind of went away when she got her nose changed.
Well, because she just didn't look like herself.
She didn't look the same.
And you know what? She looked kind of basic. Or just more like... every day.
Yeah,
I don't mean
she
it
was
to sound
unrecognizable.
Rude.
She looked like everyone else.
She had a very distinct look. And it like, and that is what's so interesting. Like, back in the day, think about Barbara Streisand. Like, they're in like, even people like Susan Sarandon, they don't look the same as everyone, but they're beautiful women.
Right.
And it's like, I just think we used to do a better job of kind of embracing differences as beauty and like interesting, exquisite qualities versus I need to have a tiny waist, a big ass, big boobs, big lips, but you know, which is very Kardashian.
Right. But it also, like, those trends come in and out. Like,
oh, I know, they're already going out. So it'll be
right.
really
so
interesting.
What happens when you've gotten 20 pounds of fat injected into your butt? Like,
I guess
then, you now
you
gotta go get it
taken
out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway,
well, I mean, it's
always
no judgment here. Like, do what makes
know,
you happy.
I feel like it starts to get that way.
I know. I just don't know that that is the path to happiness. I think you have to find happiness and then work on the outside.
What I was going to make a joke about whenever you said getting a new nose isn't going to make you happy or whatever, or if you do the inner work and that's all you want, then do it. Like, getting Scrotox isn't going to make your girl like your balls. Just if any guys out there are
debating.
Should
I try it just to see what it does?
I mean, maybe the gays would be into it. That's such a gay, that is such a gay procedure. If you really think about it, the gays right. would be the ones to notice wrinkly balls the most. Like, that
totally.
Is so true.
Because girls don't even want to see your balls, right?
Well, I mean, no, I enjoy a ball. It's just like, to me, it's just a part of the thing, you know? Like, the balls are in the mix. We're the balls are around. They're being played. I don't know how to say any of this because I know my mom is listening.
You've encountered a few balls in your time. It looks like there are places in Nashville that does Scrotox.
Of course there is. What do you think?
Scrotoplasty. Oh my God, it just keeps getting bigger.
Chip, if you go, you realize this is going to become a documentary for the Velvet Sash podcast.
Okay. I'm not going to do it. I'm too scared.
You don't even like needles. You're really not going to get a needle.
Like,
in your
I don't need Scrotox.
I said, what if they miss? Or what if they like hit the testicle accidentally? What's going to happen?
That makes me want to die right now.
If you go get Scrotox, I would make sure it's a very good provider, very right. experienced.
5 stars on Google reviews.
Yeah, which it's a new
if
procedure.
If anyone's gotten it, or if anyone's husbands or boyfriends or brothers have gotten it, please call in. I am begging you to understand why.
Yeah.
And how it went. Same. And if it was painful.
I was telling you, there's an episode of Sex and the City, and I need to go back and listen to all the podcasts on how many times I quote episodes of Sex and the City. But Steve has testicular cancer, and he loses a ball because they just remove the ball to get rid of the cancer. Then he's totally healthy. He's great. And he and Miranda are not together. And they're friends, though. And he says to her, I think I'm going to go get this new procedure to have like a prosthetic ball put in. So she goes to the appointment with him and they say, like, this is a very new procedure. There's all these risks. And she's like, no, absolutely not. It's basically saying the same thing as me. Like, nobody cares about the balls. Like, you have one ball or two balls, like, we're good. We're not going to be like, whoa, where's the other ball? But so she ends up having what they call a mercy fuck and having sex with him. So he still feels like he's sexy and she still gets pregnant from that quote unquote mercy
one ball.
Fuck. From the one ball. And but it just like it's to me case in point, women don't think about balls. That's not really a part of what we're really attracted to. And it's just so interesting that we convince ourselves that we need this thing to feel whole or feel complete, when in reality, like, no one else is looking at it that way. It's just like within right. ourselves. I could get where, like, if you had one ball or one boob or anything like that. Like I told you, I had a friend who had breast cancer, and so she has a lump missing out of her boob. And I have so much respect for her because what most or a lot of women do is, you know, get boob jobs after. And she's just left it. She's like, I don't want to put my body through anything else. Like, I'm so happy. Like, I'm proud of my body that it's like functioning and it works now. And it's kind of like a badge of honor in some ways of the things I've been through, you know, and like also a reminder of what I've overcome, which I thought was just really beautiful. And like her partners since that surgery have not cared one bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I know plenty of women who've had, what is it? Lumpectomies. Is that when you get your full breast removed?
No, mastectomy is that.
A mastectomy. And then have gotten fake breasts because sure. they want to look like the way that they looked. And then I've known people that have just said, get rid of them. I don't care. You mm-hmm. know? And I think that, you know, it's coming, that's coming from a medical need perspective too. It's not,
that's totally different than
it's
what
not,
we're
yeah,
about.
It's not a psychological, yes. it's not a psychological thing.
No.
But the friend that you're talking about, it is just like an aesthetic thing that she's like, fuck, I don't care. You know, like mm-hmm. there's a reason. And if anyone's got a problem with it, they're probably pretty shallow anyway.
Yeah. They're not like, my they're people.
Not, yeah, they're not for her. So.
I mean, it fits her personality. So I think it is again, like, as we're saying this over and over, I really do feel in this situation, it is to each their own. Like, I really don't have judgment. I'm just kind of, when you told me about Scrotox, it took me off guard. And I just, one of those things where you see these absurd things happening in the news or on social media or whatever. And like, we just got to fucking start talking about this, y'all. Cause it's like, we're off the rails here. We're getting shots.
We've gone
in our
too
balls.
Far.
Like, what?
We've gone too far. Look, if you've got pain in your nuts, get it, you know, but if
you're worried about the wrinkles in your balls, also the before and afters, I like the befores better that we've seen.
I got to tell you, it makes your dick look smaller when your balls hang too low.
Because your balls are saggy. Also, doesn't that happen with age? So why are you trying to rush that?
Right. Oh my God. I wonder if there's, because it's only been going on since like 2017 is sort of something that I read, but
yeah.
So we don't have, unless there were some old, much older gentleman doing it, we don't know what it's going to look like 40 years down the road when your balls would have naturally sagged.
Well, Botox fades. So like you just have to keep getting it redone.
Yeah. But I would imagine that anyone's
every
doing
4 months?
Probably, yeah, it says every 4 months. It lasts about 4 months.
Yeah. That's about the time for Botox.
No, thanks. If I'm going to stick a needle on myself electively, it's going to make my face look younger, not
my balls.
Well,
100%.
Yeah.
That's how I feel at least.
Right.
Well, if you're worried about your balls and you're listening to this podcast, breathe
Google
easy.
Scrotox.
Let me just tell you, women don't care. And if you know of or are just curious about this Scrotox situation and want to talk to us about it, please email. This is a topic I really want to hear about what the listeners have to say about this. You can always email us at theedge@velvetsedge.com. Or if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can hit that on the link to in my bio. Why is that always such a mouthful for me to say?
It's so hard.
Link in my bio on Instagram. On Instagram, I am at @velvetsedge. It's also in Chip's link in his bio, which is
at Chip Dorsch. It's C-H-I-P. D-O-R-S-C-H.
God, I don't even know if the wrap-up feels appropriate right now. Nothing feels appropriate because we just talked about balls for 30 minutes.
Lots of balls.
Anyway, as you guys go into the weekend and you're living on the edge, I hope you always remember to
act casual.
That was all I got. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.